Word up, word of mouth Wednesday. This is the word of mouth Wednesday for April the 13th, 2011. And tonight we've got our episode, Canada at the Brink. We've got a federal election a few weeks away, and some of the party leaders debated last night. Worldwide, people are wondering why. So joining us first up, we've got an update on the Level 7 meltdown, what's been happening with the Fukushima reactor in Japan, and the latest headline, Greenpeace closes down Hydro-Quebec's doors. We've got words with Robin Nieto, Greenpeace media correspondent, going to be calling in to talk about what isn't being talked about in terms of this meltdown. And then also, we've got some words from the week that was in activism, the Rally for Respect, thousands that marched on the Ford Nation on Saturday. Also on Saturday, there was a rally to end the war in Afghanistan, an anti-war rally. And we've got words on the street with Brian Law of the Press for Truth and the G20 Into the Fire documentary. All of that and more coming up here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. And we're just getting ready to have an interview with Robin Nieto right when we get back on the Word of Mouth.
The Ginty government says it's safe to ship these massive containers, even though radiation levels exceed international standards. And there's been no environmental assessment of the plan. And environmental groups, mayors, Aboriginal communities all oppose the plan. Speaker, why won't the government stand up for our shared waters and finally stop this shipment?
Word up. So that was the leader of the Ontario NDP, Andre Harwath, who's talking about the nuclear shipments that are being planned in Ontario along the Great Lakes, over across the Atlantic Ocean into Sweden. That is just one of the many nuclear issues that we're seeing right now. And to talk with us more about, you know, nuclear issues worldwide, joining us from the offices of Greenpeace, we've got Robin Nieto on the line. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Daniel. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us tonight here on the show. What is the latest news? I guess maybe we should start with the Fukushima, just because it's such a huge topic.
Yeah. Well, I think it's been close to a month since the Fukushima crisis began. So what I can provide is a summary of what's been happening since then. Just because in our media, I don't know if you noticed, but there's been little coverage since the federal election began. So what's happening, let's just start with what happened yesterday. The Japanese government finally admitted that Fukushima is at the same disaster level as Chernobyl. And actually today, authorities from the Tokyo Electric Power Company said that the situation in Japan can become worse than Chernobyl because they are not able to contain the radiation. So, it took them about 3 weeks to admit that Fukushima had reached Chernobyl level 7, as they call it. And Greenpeace, about 3 weeks ago, had commissioned a nuclear safety expert, Dr. Helmut Hirsch, to do an analysis of the nuclear crisis in Fukushima, and he found that the Fukushima disaster had released enough radioactivity to be ranked to level 7, on par with Chernobyl. And this is on a scale called the International Nuclear Event Scale. So that's why they call it level 7. And this is the scale's highest level. And that's where the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear disaster was. So it's interesting to notice that the media didn't pick up on this for what was us an incredible announcement. Like, we, if any of our listeners remember Chernobyl, I mean, it's hard to forget if you lived through it what kind of disaster that was. Fukushima has now been rated at the same level, and our media here in Canada missed it. Like, the international media was picking up because Greenpeace did press conferences in Japan. So they did pick up on it, but the Canadian media they didn't. So anyway, so we'll continue. And some media outside, like I said, did pick it up, and Greenpeace had radiation. They were the only organization outside of the Tokyo Electric Power Company and the Japanese government doing radiation testing around Fukushima, and they found that there are dangerously high radiation levels more than 40 kilometers away from the Fukushima reactors. So they held a press conference to inform the Japanese government that they needed to expand the evacuation zone to those towns beyond the 20-kilometer zone that were being exposed to dangerous levels of radiation. The Japanese government responded that the residents in those areas had a choice. They could leave, or if they stay, they should stay indoors as much as possible. Greenpeace said that they should at the very least evacuate pregnant women and young children. Greenpeace did a press conference around this. International news agencies picked up on these stories. Canadian media didn't. Greenpeace radiation teams were on the ground measuring radiation, this time around Fukushima City. And again, they did another press conference to announce that pregnant women and children should be evacuated from parts of Fukushima City due to dangerous radiation levels. This time, the Japanese government responded by expanding the evacuation zone to 30 kilometers, which it used to be 20, and committed to evacuating the contaminated towns close to the 40-kilometer limit within a month. But the Japanese government didn't order evacuations from Fukushima City. Greenpeace has come to this point. Now, what they're saying is that the next steps that the Japanese government should take is they should focus on long-term contamination in other populated areas and protect the more than 1 million people living in Greater Fukushima City and another city called Koriyama, and declaring official protective status for the Greater Fukushima area with food and soil testing. So, you know, they're calling on the government to do what they're supposed to do. So, you know, right now, in that area, radiation, you know, if we talk about the measurement of radiation, which is millisieverts, the people are, you know, at the threshold in terms of the amount of radiation that they're receiving in those areas. That was the threshold for evacuation at Chernobyl following, the 1986 disaster. So, you know, Greenpeace does keep at it and, doing radiation measurements in the area and advising the Japanese government. But the response has been what Greenpeace says is tragically, woefully slow. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Greenpeace International is doing their efforts. Like I said, these stories are picked up internationally, but they're not transferred back to Canada.
Right. Well, so this is a major international catastrophe. Basically, it's intense situation in Japan and with an evacuation zone that's expanding and growing. But how worldwide is this situation? Because I know that I've been hearing, you know, that there had been radiation levels, you know, detected Europe and in North America. And how widespread is this?
It's pretty widespread. It's been spreading around, you know, the world. So we've had reports recently in Ontario that that there's been radiation detected from Japan right here in this province.
And that's from the air, or?
That's from the air, and they're doing measurements around, I think, the Bruce Nuclear Plant, which picked it up. They're also doing measurements out in BC, radiation measurements, and they had picked up that radiation had reached the shores of BC about 4 days ago. And they've also picked up increased radiation levels in New Brunswick, where they're also doing regular testing because they have a nuclear plant there as well. And all of these areas have attributed the increase in radiation to the Fukushima disaster. So this is ongoing. And so, like, we're back here in Ontario now, and we're faced with these radiation levels. And, at the same time that this is happening, the same time that this ongoing disaster is happening in Japan, it's a situation that hasn't been controlled yet. And that's what the Japanese authorities that are actually supposed to be taking care of these plants are admitting. At the same time this is happening here in Ontario, we've had Darlington nuclear hearings to try to build. The government wants to build two more nuclear reactors at Darlington, which is just outside the GTA. You know, it's about 60 kilometers from downtown Toronto. So they, you know, Greenpeace, what they did was say, look, you know, Fukushima is still happening. You don't have the information yet to be able to, you know, have the proper studies to do an environmental assessment about reactors and the dangers that can the risks of these accidents happening in any nuclear reactor. So postpone these hearings until you can get this information from Fukushima. Postpone these hearings in Darlington until you know what kind of nuclear reactor you're going to use, because they haven't announced which kind of nuclear reactor technology they're going to use. So they, you know, Greenpeace has, you know, sent in applications, letters, and then did a press conference asking the panel to stop the hearings, to postpone them until you can get the right information. There, it was Greenpeace and a few other environmental organizations that made that the request. The request was ignored at the panel. So, you know, the government of Ontario wants to go full steam ahead with building more nuclear reactors around Toronto. Right now, we already have about 20 nuclear reactors really around Toronto.
Right.
Have them in Darlington and Pickering and the Bruce. Darlington and Pickering are on the edge of Lake Ontario, and Bruce is on the edge of Lake Huron. So they're not far away from the GTA at all. And I don't think, you know, we've stopped to ask questions, but, you know, Greenpeace has, and they, what they did was take an action, and they, because after all the time that they've spent trying to, make the commissioners of this panel understand that you don't have the proper information yet, they continue with the hearing. So Greenpeace took an action, and they tried to stop those hearings for a few hours to get some public attention on this issue. I'm not so sure how many Torontonians knew that the government was going to go full steam ahead with these reactors.
With this expansion, right.
Yeah, with
and
expansion.
And talk about full steam ahead in Ontario, in the Great Lakes region. And what have you heard any updates on this nuclear shipment that we heard the Andrea Horwath of the NDP was talking about in that clip we just played? With sending these nuclear waste steam generators across the ocean, has there been any updates since, you know, with all this that's been happening in Japan and all this talk about nuclear issues?
No, there haven't been very many updates to it. Like I said, most of the issues around what's happening in Fukushima and nuclear have taken a backseat in the Canadian media. It's only been coming up again now because of radiation being detected in Ontario. And that only happened because we had, you know, a reporter from CTV who broke that news, and then the other media picked it up. So that kind of news is, you know, it's kind of being left behind.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it might be picking up because of the concern for radiation, right, in Ontario.
Right.
But just to go back to this, you know, nuclear, the building of nuclear reactors is going to cost, these two that they're proposing in Darlington, it's going to cost $26 billion.
Whoa.
$26 billion. And they're also, you know, they're proposing to rebuild the nuclear reactor in Quebec, and that's going to cost $2 billion.
Right, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, because that was a headline I saw this morning, something going on with Greenpeace in Quebec. Greenpeace closes Hydro-Quebec's doors for a call for a shutdown of Gentilly 2. Do you know what that was all about?
Yeah, Greenpeace, they went to the Hydro-Quebec doors, they locked the doors, and they said, you know, this is what should happen to the nuclear plant Gentilly 2, which is located just across the river from Trois-Rivières, which is between Montreal and Quebec. It said, you know, what's that? The plant should be locked down. It should be shut down. Quebec doesn't need nuclear, you know, and that's what should happen to it, because Quebecers are not for these types of nuclear risks that they're facing right now, and that the Quebec government, just like the Ontario government, is moving full steam ahead with. So, again, you know, it's not like this issue has just happened today. Greenpeace has been petitioning both governments to, you know, really take stock of what's been happening in Fukushima and to postpone these hearings. And they've been ignored time and time again, which is, you know, pretty common for authorities to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what's uncommon is that while countries around the world, like Germany, Italy, China, who were proposing to build, or even Venezuela, that were proposing to build nuclear plants have stopped to assess the situation in Japan. One of the only governments, one of the few governments that have decided to steamroll ahead have been the Ontario and Quebec governments.
Whoa.
So, you know, Greenpeace has been at this issue now for years.
Mm-hmm.
One
yeah.
of the few organizations, environmental organizations, that have been on this issue when it became unpopular.
Right, and yeah, and I got to give you guys a lot of respect for getting the word out, Greenpeace getting the word out on these nuclear situations. But if there's people out there listening, wondering what they can do, is there anything Greenpeace is recommending for people?
Yeah, we're recommending right now. We have sign on. Like I said, we're petitioning these governments, the Ontario and the Quebec governments, to hold back, to postpone these hearings, to stop building these nuclear plants. So what we're asking people to do is to go to our website, greenpeace.ca, green, so green, and then peace, peace.ca, and there you can go and sign a letter to the McGuinty government and to the Charest government in Quebec to put a halt to these plans that for more nuclear reactors when we don't need any more. We already have 22 in Canada. You know, it's not like we have none. We have too many. We don't need any more. What we need is green solutions. You know, we're talking a mixture of renewable energy sources, you know, wind, solar, geothermal. We need to be talking and discussing those alternatives instead of spending multi-billions of dollars on these nuclear reactors that Fukushima and Chernobyl, I mean, at the end of this month, on April 26th, is the anniversary of Chernobyl.
Whoa.
So, you know, we are now, you know, 25 years later, after Chernobyl, with another nuclear catastrophe. And these governments, the McGuinty government in Ontario and the Charest government in Quebec, are blinded to this situation. And it is phenomenal. Because, like I said, national governments around the world have postponed their plans.
Right.
They have stopped their plans because they need to look at what's happened in Fukushima. You know, and this is happening around the world.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's a real tragedy what's happening right now, and it's ongoing, and it is of concern. So the next question's here. The next question for Ontario, because we're now we're detecting our own radiation levels, is, you know, how will the authorities here, how will they be forthcoming with the public when it comes to proper radiation monitoring? Will they be forthcoming, or have they been forthcoming, about the effects of nuclear reactors that surround Toronto? You know, and if a disaster, you know, were to happen, would they be prepared, and would they be forthcoming with information? Because what we're seeing from Japan when it comes to the authority taking care of the Tokyo Electric Power Company and the Japanese government is that they have not been forthcoming with information, and they have been tragically slow. We're talking at a time when they should have evacuated. They waited weeks while people were living.
Yeah, this is like a month later. Yeah, level seven a month later.
And so the question comes here, where we have very pro-government, pro-nuclear power governments. And these provincial governments are in charge of taking care of our safety when it comes to radiation. You know, they are the authorities of safety for the population.
Right.
If they are so pro-nuclear, how can they guarantee that they will provide us, the public, with the proper information we need to know that we're safe? Because if we've learned lessons from Chernobyl and from Japan and from Fukushima, is that authorities, when the accident actually happens, they are not forthcoming.
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah, and that's why I want to thank you, Ron, for the work that you're doing and for asking the questions that need to be asked. And thanks again for sharing some knowledge on this situation on the Word of Mouth tonight.
Thank you, Daniel.
All right, Word, that was Robin Nieto from Greenpeace Canada, greenpeace.ca. Check out Greenpeace for the work that they've been doing and, you know, getting the word out on what's going on in Japan. And that's kind of the information we've got to get out, because once we hear that Japan is at a level 7 and could be getting bigger than Chernobyl, then, you know, we're into something. We're into a time when hopefully the knowledge is not being suppressed. Hopefully, you know, where all the knowledge is coming out is real, and that, you know, it's not being hidden. But that's why it's appropriate to play a music track here. We'll just take a music break. This one's Elda Sensei and the Returners featuring Raka Ira Science. It's called Knowledge Be the Key. Word of Mouth Wednesday.
Hmm. Knowledge be the key to unlock your brain.
If knowledge be the key, just show me the lock or it's breaking and entering like I take it to enemies. I'd rather bring remedies, but I could bring sickness. Bringing pop quizzes to your city, local school district. Rappers with lawyers and parents banging the angry and bring charges of child abuse, neglecting endangerment for brainwashing youth like rain washing the roof. Clean them out from the top, air them out from the booth. That said, street knowledge says get that printed, get that, and do it all around the world. We'll get back like returners, give back, get more, get yours. I say open up your mind, expand and explore, tour, stop, look, listen and learn. Hard lessons, hard hands, but the tables are turned. Like DJs, I bring true school with no delay. L from Jones, rock 'em from L-A-C-A, L-A-C-A.
Is the key to wealth.
Take notice of the focus and rhymes are on the shelf. DJs cut the records and wax is on the bell. All the bits are felt and made for musical health.
Because knowledge is the key to wealth.
We got a lot from the target, precise with perfect aim.
The center of our science,
the best to win the game. The lane to his best, we fire to entertain.
Because knowledge be the key to unlock your brain.
Yeah. If knowledge be the key, yeah. Label me scholarly. Acknowledge the policy, slide it is popping, not a novelty. Hot commodity, leading the way for y'all to follow me. Gain property and learn to spit more properly. First lottery pick, we logically fit. California with the East Coast model from the bricks. Verses like foundations for y'all to learn patience. Spitting the free in the street, beefing guns blazing. Riddle-laden walls and halls are constant evidence. No ducking the bullets, your fate is now your settlement. Intelligent remarks, spreading the art. Aerosol are from esophagus, the product is smart. High quality grade, man-made and handcrafted. Solely for the fan who caught my since I was drafted. First, Rocker Elderson, returners until the end. So effective with the method, coordinated to blend.
Knowledge be the key to unlock your brain.
Take notice of the focus and rhymes are on the shelf. DJs cut the records when wax is on the bell. All the bits are felt and made for musical health. Because
knowledge is the key to wealth.
We got it locked on the target, precise with perfect aim. Listen to
our science,
the best to win the game. If the lanes know what's best, we fire to entertain. Because
knowledge be the key to unlock your brain.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and I just wanted to mention that we've got a situation here. We've got these global environmental situations, what's been going on in Japan. We mentioned something going on a bit more closer. There's going to be a walk to stop the quarry. There's a mega quarry open pit mine project going on in Melancthon Township, Dufferin County, and this is the same project that Tohoge Tote had been speaking about the with this mysterious Highland Group, a U.S. hedge fund, Baupost. Well, I just wanted to announce that we're planning on having an interview next week to get in some more information about this whole situation. Carl Kosak, vice chair of NDACT, has agreed to join us for next week. So hopefully we're going to be getting some more information on this open mine, you know, mega quarry that they're planning for, you know, a bit north of here, Melancthon County. And then there's going to be a big, you know, raising awareness starting next week, starting on Earth Day. There's going to be a big walk up there, walk to stop the quarry, featuring Brian Daniels and Danny Beaton. I've just got the news release here, and we're going to get into what's been going on recently, because there's been so much stuff that's been happening. It's been, you know, it has been a bit overwhelming, but there, we can't stop now, and we got to just keep on getting the information out. And one of the ways that, you know, a lot of information gets out is at events, you know, free events about activism, including, you know, protests and rallies, which took place on Saturday, a major rally. This was one of the biggest crowds we've seen, and I got some video posted on it on online. One shot of the thousands of people that marched on City Hall, Nathan Phillips Square, the Ford Nation, was protested against on the weekend on a Saturday. I guess it was Saturday, April 9th. But before the march hit City Hall, there was a rally at the Young Dundas Square where there's some speeches on the stage and stuff. This is a bit of one of those speeches. Here's a bit of Butterfly's speech, and she represents the Jane and Finch community. This is from the April 9th Respect Our Communities. Here's a bit of that, and we'll be back.
With austerity measures coming down on us by every level of government. We've been here before, Jane and Finch. The gloves were never on. I know people have been feeling the pressure, and I know people feel hopeless. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Mike Harris never left. The enemy might look different, but the enemy is the same. Which is why I invite you all of City of Toronto here to stand behind us, to stand with us, and to defend ourselves against these attacks. We will find unity. We will find commonality. We will resist against these political divides that pit communities against each other, that pit realities against each other. This is an attack on the poor, and we will fight back as long as you look down on us from the ivory tower, Rob Ford. Take a deep breath and hear our demands for respect. If you don't, we'll take it back. Either this city hall is going to listen to us and be accountable to the real people, or we'll have no choice. Respect Toronto. Respect our city. Respect our people. Respect our future. It's springtime in Toronto. We're hungry and we're tired of this corporate dictatorship democracy, and we will not take police systemic beatings no more. Resist Toronto!
Word up. So those were some of the sounds that you heard. And then basically after that speech, after there's a few speeches, it was a major march onto the city hall, you know, thousands of people, one of the biggest crowds I've seen, you know, since the G20 for Toronto activism. Checking out, though, the Dundas Square and those events going on there, I checked out what was going on, this rally to end the war in Afghanistan and rally to end, you know, it was just an anti-war rally against all these wars that have been going on for the past decade. Well, what happened there? Well, there was at least hundreds of people there, so that's why it was good to see when that march, that was from... that was around the U.S. consulate, and then everyone at the anti-war rally marched over to the Yonge and Dundas Square, met up with the hundreds of people there, and, you know, became thousands of people at Yonge and Dundas Square that marched all the way down to City Hall. And it was really something to see. Now, what I was able to do, though, just because there was some, you know, there's always stuff going on, always people to see when, you know, there's, you know, hundreds of people, thousands of people. But one of the people that I wanted to speak with was somebody that we've interviewed on the show before, and I wanted to get what his thoughts were on this new movie coming out, Into the Fire, just because I know he was involved with putting it together, and because we've been featuring some interviews with Dan Dix. Why not get somebody else that was involved with making this movie and get his point of view? So I caught up with Brian Law, who works with Press for Truth, who was actually the director of the movie United We Fall, which came out last summer. Well, this year he's the editor of the new movie coming out, Into the Fire, which Dan Dix directed, and he's also one of the co-producers, Brian Law. So here are his thoughts, Brian Law, on what has been going on with the G20, Into the Fire, and more specifically, what has been happening with his situation, because if you remember, Brian Law was one of the first people arrested because of the G20, or, you know, for G20 security purposes, and this was in early May 2010, you know, almost 2 months before the actual G20 took place, and was apparently for filming G20 locations. Well, here's what Brian Law will explain, what's been going on, what the recent is. This is an interview from April 9th, 2011 at the anti-war rally. Me and Brian Law with Press for Truth Stay tuned. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We'll be right back.
Stonewalling me like an officer. Bubbles.
Touch me with that bubble. You're going into custody.
The situation right now, we've tried to go and just do a small, short interview with Officer Bubbles, just joking around with him, asking if there's any unruly hippies who are blowing bubbles at him today, and he wouldn't answer. And I asked him about the impending lawsuit against YouTube. He wouldn't answer. So I told him, I'm just joking around with you, trying to have some fun. And he turned his back to me, so I just left him alone for now. But I'm sure everyone has seen the Officer Bubbles footage by this point, but arresting a girl for blowing bubbles is a little bit overkill, and it's bullying tactics, it's intimidation tactics, and we shouldn't stand for that. So if he's going to do that in front of a camera, then from now on he's going to be known as Officer Bubbles. You can't refer to him as Officer A. Josephs anymore, unless he wants to make a formal apology to that girl and say, yes, I was stressed out that day. I made a few mistakes. I'd like to, apologize for treating you that way and, shake on it or hug on it or do something just to make amends for it instead of stonewalling everybody and just acting like, what you did was justified, because it wasn't. We don't need police officers like that. We need peace officers.
Speaking with Brian Law. Brian Law, I was actually wondering, though, is there anything, any updates with what's going on with your case? Because I know you were one of the first G20 arrests or arrests related to the G20. What's going on with that?
I put in a complaint to the OIPRD. The complaint came back after being investigated by Detective Nancy Van Vegel of 52 Division. So they had the police investigate themselves in the matter. They determined that there was no wrongdoing on the behalf of the police, because the police were acting on information at that time, which they believed I was trespassing on private property, which I wasn't, but they assumed that I was, so then therefore anything they did inside of that was completely legal under Trespass to Property Act subsection 2. If you're asked to leave a property and you refuse to leave, the police do have a right under Canadian law to force you to identify yourself. However, I was never asked to leave any private property because I wasn't on private property. I was told that I couldn't film the outside of a building without a permit, which, by the way, is not true. If anybody wants to film a building, you can film any building you want in a public area as long as you want, as long as you are on a public sidewalk. But even on the day, they wouldn't tell me that I was trespassing. They told me it was investigative detention. They didn't even tell me I was officially under arrest until about a month later, when I had to pay for an arrest report. I guess the Office of the Independent Police Review Director reviewed the appeal and decided that the decision by the Chief of Police was accurate, that there was no wrongdoing on the behalf of the police. So now if I want to do anything further, I have to seek counsel to bring them to court, which could take years, and the settlement won't be worth the costs to bring this person to court. So it's like this Kafka-esque style trial system where, you lose faith in the system because they put you through so many bureaucratic hurdles that it doesn't make it financially worth it to approach a private lawyer to bring an officer to court. And then what are you going to get? You're going to get public money. I don't want the public's money. I want their money if I'm going to sue them. But since he was in uniform that day and acting as a duty officer, I would have to sue the officer, and it's unfortunate that the OIPRD is basically an extension of the police. It's an extension of the arm of the police, and to investigate themselves with police officers didn't really give me any sense of justice, because I felt like I wasn't doing anything wrong that day. I was being courteous and cordial, and they chose to force me to identify myself. They put us in handcuffs for 40 minutes, and granted, the officers were nice, but the fact of the matter is they had no legal right to put me in handcuffs for filming on a public street and then claim afterwards that I was trespassing. So for now, my situation is I'm unfortunately just going to have to let it go, because I don't have the means to hire a lawyer to bring them to court and for it to take 2 or 3 years to get this officer in front of a judge. And given the fact that it was viewed by the OIPRD to be a lawful justification to put me in handcuffs for 40 minutes to identify me on a public street, that would be used against me in court, because both the appeal and the original investigation found there was no wrongdoing. So my feelings are that the judge would probably rule the same way. I did put in a separate complaint with the OIPRD for being ID'd and having my laminated identification badge stolen from me by four officers at Cherry Beach, and that happened on June 25th. That one is part of the systemic review by the OIPRD. I provided them with footage, and I'm hoping that they can use that footage to find those officers acting outside of the mandate of the law. And we need the officers, especially police officers, to act inside of the law, because they're upholding the law. law. They're officers of the law. And if they're not going to act within the confines of the law, then there is no reason to have laws anymore if people aren't equal before the law. So we're on cop watch today.
The latest Press for Truth, we're talking about Into the Fire coming out. What can people expect, and when is this coming out?
Into the Fire comes out on April 22nd, 2011. It comes out at the Bloor Cinema. That's our first screening of it. We'll also be releasing the film the next day on the internet for everyone to watch for free. So if you can't get down here, wait 24 hours, it'll be online. On the same day, we're going to be releasing over 19 hours of footage of Charlie Veach in the Torontonimo Detention Center. That's public footage, in my view, that belongs to the public. It doesn't belong to any one person. In fact, I think all 3,000 hours should be released to the public. You can expect to see over 140 hours of footage edited down into a really tight two-hour film that basically outlines everything that happened from the Thursday until the following Monday of the G20 summit, and then the following months afterwards, where we went to protests and saw the community starting to organize in a unified fashion. And that's exactly what we need to continue doing, is uniting together and working against these oppressive measures. And we don't need the police holding us back from doing this. We need the police on our side to arrest the real criminals that are inside that U.S. consulate, the real criminals that are inside of the Metro Convention Center during the G20 summit. We need to make the G20 an election issue. I mean, it was the largest mass arrest in Canadian history. It was an extreme violation of our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and it wasn't just a violation of the 1,105 people that were arrested. It was a violation of 34 million people who live in Canada under the same laws, because if you were there, you would have been treated that way. And if we let the police get away with it this time, it's going to set a precedent that we're okay with letting them get away with it again, which we're not.
Do you understand me?
Watch Into the Fire.
The whole world is watching. Word up, that was an interview with Brian Law recorded last Saturday at near the rally to end the war. And Brian Law was out there documenting for Press for Truth what's been going on with activism, local activism, Into the Fire. The whole world is watching. World leaders and activists from around the world gathered for the G20 summit with over 19,000 police officers and security personnel on hand. The results led to over 1,100 arrests, martial law in downtown Toronto, and the most massive violation of civil liberties in Canadian history. Directed by Dan Dix and produced by Stephen Davies, Brian Law, and Dan Dix, Into the Fire debuts on Friday, April 22nd, that's next Friday, at the Bloor Cinema, 7 p.m., and you can get tickets at pressfortruth.ca, or the next day, April the 23rd, a Saturday, online. The Into the Fire is supposed to be released. Pressfortruth.ca. Into the Fire will be released, the whole documentary, online for anyone with internet access to watch on the Saturday, the 23rd. So this is all, you know, major stuff happening, all going to be within, you know, within the next week, within the next 2 weeks. This is why there's so much going on that we got to come back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday after a quick music break. Why don't I, maybe I'll just do something we've only ever done once in Word of Mouth history. I'm going to do it again. This time, we're going to be playing a hit music track. We've only ever played one before, and that was, Michael Jackson track, and this is it. And now I'm going to be playing one. This is a hit song from The Roots last year featuring John Legend, and it's a track called The Fire. Check out Word of Mouth Wednesday.
Signals like Morse code. My soul start to grow colder than the North Pole. I try to focus on the hole of where the torch goes. In the tradition of these legendary sports pros, as far as I can see, I've made it to the threshold. Lord knows I waited for this a lifetime, and I'm an icon when I let my light shine. Shine bright as an example of a champion, taking the advantage, never copping out or canceling. Burn like a chariot, learn how to carry it. Maverick, always above and beyond average.
bitch. Fuel to the flame that I train with and travel with. Something in my eyes say I'm so close to having a prize. I realize I'm supposed to reach for the skies. Never let somebody try to tell you otherwise.
There's something in your heart.
Desire, one flame, one bonfire, let it burn higher. I never show signs of fatigue or turn tired, cause I'm the definition of tragedy turned triumph. It's David and Goliath, I made it to the eye of the storm, feeling torn like they fed me to the lions. Before my time start to wind down like the Mayans, I show them how I got to grind down like a science. It sounds like a riot on hush, it's so quiet, the only thing I hear is my heart. I'm inspired by the challenge that I find myself standing eye to eye with, to move like a wise warrior. You're not a coward, you can't escape the history that you was meant to make. That's why the highest victory is what I'm meant to take. You came to celebrate, I came to celebrate. I hate losing, I refuse to make the same mistakes.
Wednesday, we're just getting ready to talk about, a big topic. We got federal election coming up May 2nd, 2011. But first, I just want to maybe read out the biggest headline that we've got locally here today. Pot laws ruled unconstitutional, talking about a judge in Ottawa, the Ontario Superior Court judge, on the medical cannabis, talking about, you know, what's been going on with medical marijuana in Canada has been unconstitutional. And shout outs to Matt Myrna, who is with, you know, he's with Toronto Hash Mob, and he's been doing a lot of activism on what's been going on in Canada involving the medical marijuana, and, you know, how hard it's been for patients to get, you know, doctors to sign on to this, well, or sign off for it, I should say. Marijuana is one of the big topics here that justice has been, it's gone from the Superior Court ruling, and it's going to be significant because it's a binding across the province, according to Alan Young, a longtime advocate of medical marijuana legalization, who's also a lawyer. And then, so he said, the real test, however, will be whether the judgment stands up in the Ontario Court of Appeal. So this isn't over yet. Ruled unconstitutional, and the judge gives Ottawa 3 months to fix the medical marijuana program, or the drug is effectively legalized. So this was a major announcement that took place yesterday. Check out myrna.ca for more information on Matt Myrna and all the work that he's been doing, trying to get the word out on this. And then also shout outs to the Toronto Hash Mob, the Free Mark Emery campaign, and the Toronto Hash Mob Flash Mob 420 event that's set to take place next Wednesday, which is April the 20th, 420. So that'll be taking place, I guess, Young Dundas, and hopefully, you know, celebrating the unconstitutional judgment here. Now, this verdict, what we've got going on is, and you can be the judge on this, basically everyone has to be in terms of the federal election, everyone that's a Canadian, because we've only got a few weeks. We've got May 2nd, voting day, and you can check out elections.ca. Finally, the full list of candidates has been released, and Just go to elections.ca, and it's a bit, well, you got to do a few clicks to get to it, but there's one way that you can search by with a map, and then from the map, you can see where your district is, and then on there, you'll see under, in the information, under the frequently asked questions, candidates, who are the candidates in my electoral district? You can click on that, and I'm just on elections.ca right now. I clicked on for Toronto Centre, which is the location of CKLN studios, or in Ryerson University campus, so that's in Toronto Centre, downtown Toronto. We've got 8 candidates running in Toronto Centre, including a candidate of the Libertarian Party of Canada, the Marxist-Leninist Party of Canada, the Communist Party of Canada, the Green Party of Canada, the Conservative Party of Canada, the Liberal Party of Canada, the New Democratic Party of Canada, and one independent are running in Toronto Centre. This is an 8-candidate race here locally. And of course, there's something like 18 registered political parties, but not all of them run in every district, of course. So there's only 8 running in that location. Let me click on another one here. This one is interesting for me because I'm in the Parkdale High Park area. Let me see here. Who are the candidates? There are about 7 candidates here, Parkdale High Park. We've got Christian Heritage Party candidate, Marxist-Leninist Party candidate, Liberal Party candidate, NDP candidate, Green Party of Canada, Marijuana Party, and Conservative Party of Canada. So 7 running in the area I'm in. Why don't I click on, let's check out, how about York West, which is where Butterfly, the Janet Finch, would be from. And she was even mentioning a lot of people in her area don't even vote during her speech at the rally. And that is, you know, we're hoping that the candidates can start, you know, focusing on the real issues that people want to hear about, and then it'll get more people interested in voting. Here, let me just check this out here. In this York West, we got 6 candidates up in the north side of the city, including an NDP candidate, Christian Heritage Party of Canada candidate, a Liberal Party candidate, a Canadian Action Party candidate, a Green Party candidate, and a Conservative Party candidate. So you'll see that most areas in all of Canada have representatives of the Liberals, the Conservatives, the NDP, and the Green Party. And then in Quebec, you'll hear, you know, the BQ, the Bloc, and then the independent candidates are really scattered around everywhere. Everywhere they've got different, you know, different numbers and different amounts or of different kinds of parties. This is interesting. So just remember that May 2nd is when you vote. So we're a few weeks away, and maybe something to get you thinking about what has been going on in the election. Why don't I just play a quick clip here of what went down last night? This is important information if you have not heard it yet, if you don't know who your candidates are. These are some of the top party leaders. In this clip, you're going to hear, and it gets into a debate issue of the G8 G20 spending. You'll hear the Liberal leader, Michael Ignatieff, you'll hear the Conservative leader Stephen Harper, and you'll hear the NDP leader Jack Layton in that order on this clip.
On the G20 summit, we had an opportunity to lead. You spent $1 billion in 72 hours, and there isn't a person in Canada who can remember a substantive outcome from that summit. And talking about Kairos, talking about aid agencies who work in Africa, you've muzzled them, you've shut them down. Anything you can't control, you want to shut down. That's no way to build international prestige overseas. These church organizations had worked in Africa for 30 years with support from the Canadian government. And for ideological reasons, you shut them down. When Rights and Democracy, an independent organization trying to represent human rights around the world, gave you a little trouble, you basically destroyed the organization. So you can't lead in this country if you show so little respect for democracy. You've got to let different voices flourish in foreign affairs.
Then Mr. Layton, I just recently was at an international meeting of Canadian international NGOs dealing with foreign aid. That's what the government of Canada does. But let me talk a minute about the G8 and G20, because it has come up time and time again. We're in a global economy. A recession came to this country through no fault of our own because of forces in the global economy. The G8 and the G20 have been vital to respond to a global response to the crisis, to ensure we first didn't have a Great Depression, and now that we are coming out through a recovery. We set important goals in that summit, including deficit and debt reduction targets for the world that Canada will achieve well ahead of time. So, you know, in this day and age where you're in a global economy, you have to be part of global conferences, and you have to be leading those conferences. And frankly, the world thinks Canada is the country leading global recovery.
But the world is also asking, what happened to Canada? Why is it now that the government there is being cited with contempt? Why is it now being known as a government that is so secretive and won't allow information out for its citizens? Why can't we even have open debates about foreign policy issues instead of having groups and organizations like Kairos, Rights and Democracy, we could go through the list, being shut down? Yours is the most closed administration when it comes to discussing these issues that we've seen in some time. But let me ask you simply this. Will you support my suggestion that we meet and arrange with the Auditor General for that report on the funds for the G8, G20 to be released now that it's already been leaked in various versions? Let's have her final report released. Will you go along with that?
Well, I'd be absolutely happy to see the real report. Mr. Layton,
Well, then bring it out. Bring it out.
Well, first
release
of all, it's the Auditor
what are you,
General's
what are you afraid
report.
Of?
It's not the government.
What are you waiting for?
This is the Auditor General's report. We encourage the Auditor General to release that report. We obviously don't like to see documents floating around. The Auditor General herself says cannot be relied on.
Well, it looks like it takes
Mr. Layton, you said how the world was looking at this situation right now. What the world is looking at right now and is saying, Canada's got the strongest recovery of any country on earth, and suddenly it's plunged into a fourth election in 7 years, and Canadians don't know why. Canadians don't know why we're doing this, but I tell you what we do have to do. We have to get Parliament back to work, focused on the economy.
All right, so those were some of the leaders, some of the words of these major English party leaders. And that was, so you heard Michael Ignatieff, you heard Stephen Harper, you heard Jack Layton talking about the topics, G8, G20 spending, which was over $1 billion, which has become a top issue now because of an Auditor General report. Sheila Fraser, Auditor General of Canada, talking about possibly the G8 spending being like totally, like a insider trading deal, or, you know, just money being funneled into Huntsville. This is quite the situation. Now, what I thought about the debate was I was glad that there was some word on the G8, G20 spending, because that's absurd. But then also it would have been good to hear the thoughts of the leaders on what actually happened on the ground at the G20 with the martial law clampdown of downtown Toronto. That would be interesting to have brought up. Would have been interesting to hear about the war in Libya, the invasion of Libya that was announced a month ago that I guess all the party leaders supported. And it would have been interesting to hear them talk about if they had any thoughts on this nuclear issues, like we were talking with Rob Nieto at the top of the show about what's been going on in Japan and how it's been affecting the world. Those issues weren't really got into that much, but one issue that was brought up, and this might be the hero of the debate, was actually the leader that you didn't hear in that last clip. I'm just going to play a clip here of the Bloc Québécois leader, Gilles Duceppe. And Gilles Duceppe spoke, and he actually had the last words of the debate right before the moderator cut it off and went into the final comments from the party leaders. And he actually dropped maybe the biggest wake-up call for English Canada that we need. And this is the last words of the debate, just in case you didn't hear it last yesterday. Gilles Duceppe, BQ party. Hold on a second here.
Gilles Duceppe. One thing we'll oppose is taking $17 billion on 5 years out of the Employment Insurance Fund. This is exactly what the Flaherty budget's proposing. And sadly, that the NDP and the Liberals are also for that measure in the proposals you've made. Look at them.
I hate to bear the disappointing news, but that's it. You have one more thing to do, and that is you get a closing statement.
Yeah, so that's the disappointing news, that was it. This is it for the debate. That was how it was cut off, because it would have been interesting to hear the leader's reactions. What Gilles Duceppe brought up there. He's saying that within all the platforms, he's saying this conservative, liberal, and NDP are going for, over the next 5 years, cutting $17 billion from EI benefits, employment insurance benefits. Is this happening? Is EI going to be cut by this much, a $17 billion cut? This would be interesting to get the other leaders' reactions to it, and too bad it wasn't one of the topics brought up, and it was just brought up, you know, briefly at the end. But it's definitely a wake-up call to what's been happening. And, you know, so much respect to Guildusep, who does not run in every riding, because Bloc Québécois is a nationalist party for the nation of Quebec looking for a sovereignty. Now, what I wanted to do here, just because we're running close to the end of the show, is to mention what we've got to mention, because there's been, you know, there's so much has been going on. Why don't we just get into some events coming up how about we'll start off with the Greenpeace events, and shout outs again to Robin Nieto for joining us on the show. Coming up on next week, on April 26th at 8 p.m., there's going to be a silent vigil for what's been going on in front of the Ministry of Energy, which is 800 Bay Street at Wellesley. And then that's going to be, a silent vigil for the Fukushima and what has been happening. April 26th, 8 p.m., in front of the Ministry of Energy, 800 Bay Street at Wellesley. Now, opening up tomorrow, there's going to be a photo exhibit, April 14th, and running until April the 28th on the Chernobyl, remembering the Chernobyl and rethinking Chernobyl. And that's going to be running, the photo exhibit, from Tuesday to Saturday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And it's at the Hotshot Art Gallery, which is 181 Augusta Avenue, Kensington Market. And for more information on all these upcoming events and the work of Greenpeace, check out greenpeace.ca for more information on the work that Greenpeace has been doing and getting the word out. Now, I also want to mention that next Wednesday afternoon, Toronto Hash Mob, Flash Mob 420 action at Yonge Dundas Square. Check out hashmob.ca, and I'll just read out that headline again out of the Toronto Star this morning. Pot laws ruled unconstitutional. Judge gives Ottawa 3 months to fix medical marijuana program, or the drug is effectively legalized. Ontario Superior Court, that is the headline. Now, also wanted to mention that coming up next week, also next Friday, is the big walk to stop the mega quarry. And we're going to be talking about this situation next week, walk to stop the mega quarry. And also next week, we're planning to be previewing or talking about what's going on Friday, April 22nd, Into the Fire. And we've invited the Press for Truth team, Dan, Brian, and Steven, down to the station. I'm not sure if they're going to make it, but if they are, hopefully they will be, and we'll be previewing Into the Fire, Press for Truth, with some real words on Press for Truth. And then shout-outs to Hoge Tote as well for getting me some of the information on this walk to stop the mega quarry, because there's going to be a big walk starting here in Toronto, I guess, on the Earth Day, and then it's going to be a march up to the hills of Ganagoda, the highlands, where this mega quarry is slated to be breaking ground. Now, what I wanted to do is we'll just play a quick sound clip here and be... Feedback.
This is Kevin Annett with the friends and relatives of the disappeared, and I want you to listen to Word of Mouth Wednesday. And please listen to our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. So I've just noticed the Blues Dr. Julie Hill is in the building. So what we'll do is we'll just play a quick music track here wait for Julie to set up here for the show formerly known as the Lowdown to Uptown, currently known as the Blue Remedy, with the Blues Dr. Julie Hill. So we'll be right back here next week on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Stay tuned. Word up, word of mouth. This is Do What You Love, Illogic, and we'll be right back. Or stay tuned. 88.1 FM. My name's Daniel Levy, and thanks for listening.
Life It's but a dream, a spirit, a ghost inside the machine. Like a river, it flows gentle as a stream. The rapids come rapidly, we see the knowledge we find within its shore. We'll swim upstream if you choose to ignore the signs around you. It's time to explore the nature of being. Bust down the door, sing this song, yeah, write the score. Through the sunny days, even if it pours, break free, the heavens soar. Liberate your spirit, I implore. Concentrate and hear it, you can't ignore. Hesitate, we near it, we all are born. Meditate, don't fear it, we all are on the river of life. Better love what you're doing. Do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. I said, do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. Yeah, life, it's like a love affair. Into my lover's eyes I stare deeply. Yeah, she can keep me on the plains of existence. You can meet me, I'm seeking truth. That's why I'm speaking ever so freely. Ready to greet the new day with a wink and a smile. Salute the sun. All the while, all I've done, I compile, let it float down the river. No denial, we're just dust in the wind. We all are born and all will face the end. But there's no reason to be sad to experience this moment. I'm so glad, never let it drop, go to waste. Love every step, cause it isn't a race. Do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. I said, do what you love and love what you do, and reflect the perfection that's inside of you. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta take that leap. The universe will catch you and keep you moving. The way you gotta be, what you gotta see, who you ought to be. Cause we all got our destiny. This is just life testing me. We all got some stress, let's see. No money, no home, won't let it get to me. I do what I love and love what I do.